Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Today we're going to read Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 2, Divinity and Divine Service, Text 14. Tasmade kena manasa bhagavan sattvatam pati krotavya kirtitavyascha dyeya pujyas chanityada. Can do the word for word responsively. Tasmat, therefore, ekena, by one, manasa,
attention of the mind,
bhagavan, the personality of Godhead, sattvatam, of the devotees, Pati, protector. Shrotavya, is to be heard. Kirtitavya, to be glorified. Cha, and. Dyeya, to be remembered. Pujya, to be worshipped. Cha, and. Nityada, constantly. Translation. Therefore, with one-pointed attention, one should constantly hear about, glorify, remember, and worship the personality of Godhead, who is the protector of the devotees. It's a very nice verse. We can do the translation responsively. Therefore, with one-pointed attention, one should constantly hear about, glorify, remember, and worship the personality of Godhead, who is the protector of the devotees. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. If realization of the absolute truth is the ultimate aim of life, it must be carried out by all means. In any one of the above-mentioned castes and orders of life, the four processes, namely glorifying, hearing, remembering, and worshipping, are general occupations. Without these principles of life, no one can exist. Activities of the living being involve engagements in these four different principles of life. Especially in modern society, all activities are more or less dependent on hearing and glorifying. Any man from any social status becomes a well-known man in human society within a very short time if he is simply glorified, truly or falsely, in the daily newspapers. Sometimes political leaders of a particular party are also advertised by newspaper propaganda, and by such a method of glorification, an insignificant man becomes an important man within no time. But such propaganda, by false glorification of an unqualified person, cannot bring about any good, either for the particular man or for the society. There may be some temporary reactions to such propaganda, but there are no permanent effects. Therefore, such activities are a waste of time. The actual object of glorification is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who has created everything manifested before us. We have broadly discussed this fact from the beginning of the Janmad Yasya Shloka of this Bhagavatam. The tendency to glorify others or hear others must be turned to the real object of glorification, the Supreme Being, and that will bring happiness. Tasmade kena manasa bhagavan sattvatam pati shrotavya kirtitavyascha jyeya pujyas chanityada. Therefore, with one-pointed attention, one should constantly hear about, glorify, remember, and worship the personality of Godhead, who is the protector of the devotees. Omigyanatam randasya gyananjana shalakaya chakshuramilitam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha shri chaitanya manobhishtam stapitam yena bhutale swayam rupakadamayam dadati swapadantikam vanchakalpatrubhyas chakripasindubhyevacha paditanam pavanepyo vaishnavepyo namo namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivasri Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hari 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 Rama 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 Hari Hari. So the previous verses have been discussing Varnashram and how Varnashram is essential and how Varnashram should be carefully, the principles of Varnashram should be applied very carefully in such a way that they encourage Krishna consciousness. It's certainly possible to follow Varnashram without Krishna consciousness. And in fact, in India today, what we see of the remnants of the Vedic culture is that, in one sense, Varnashram, without Krishna consciousness, and the state of the society at present, is giving some sort of indication of what happens when you follow Varnashram without Krishna consciousness. It deteriorates, and everything deteriorates. So unfortunately, that is the case in India in the current day. Even though, of course, many people, are quite attached, some are very, very attached to their caste, or we would say, Varna. some of them are very, very attached indeed to their caste, or we would say Varna, even though there may be no real sense in it, in that they are not performing that duty in so many cases, or if they are, then they're performing other duties, and they're performing those duties imperfectly, like this. So in this way we have what is called the caste system, which has, for good reason, at least in many respects good reason, become very much looked down upon outside India, the abuse of Varnashram. So Varnashram, like anything, can be abused, and the natural result of that will be deterioration on the individual and general levels of human society. But when Varnashram is performed in Krishna consciousness, then it's very, very valuable as a context within which to cultivate Krishna consciousness, a favorable environment within which Krishna consciousness can relatively easily be cultivated, as opposed to just in some society where there's no structure in terms of Varna and Ashram. So the goal of that is, as this verse today is saying, that one is facilitated in life through following Varnashram. One is facilitated as much as possible within the material world to be peaceful by living according to one's inherent nature materially. So being situated in a comfortable situation as much as possible materially, then one can focus on Krishna consciousness without being distracted by material things. This is the idea. And the point then is, as the verse is saying, that one should be able to, and one should, with one-pointed attention, focus on Krishna. Focus on Krishna consciousness by four particular activities are mentioned here. Hearing, about Krishna, glorifying Krishna, remembering Krishna, and worshipping Krishna. Worshipping we can take to include rendering different types of devotional services. Like this, Vanashram should facilitate this, and when one has that facility through Vanashram, one should take advantage of that, and with one-pointed attention, ekena manasa, one-pointed attention, one should focus on Krishna, and in this way one can perfect one's life. In the purport here, Srila Prabhupada explains very nicely how in modern day society these practices of hearing about and glorifying, and then as a result of that worshipping and remembering ordinary persons, how this is going on, and how in fact this is very, very prominent in modern day society, that some person who is of no real significance, Prabhupada actually says insignificant, he has no real qualification, but somehow or other he's promoted, perhaps he has a little charisma, but even without charisma, if he's promoted nicely by some clever people in the newspapers and on television and on the radio and in different ways, he may just be a very ordinary, insignificant person, but some clever man writes his speeches. Then it sounds like he has very profound ideas about life. And in different ways like this. If there is some interview, he must get the questions beforehand. And then his clever assistants work out the right answers, and he has to try to memorize them. Anyway, that may be a little tricky, but in these ways they try. They try. So some insignificant man can end up being taken far too seriously by the ordinary people, and they place their faith in him. Faith arises, as we heard, if we hear about Krishna. In the case of Krishna consciousness, if the Madhyamadikaris tell you about Krishna, give you Krishna consciousness, then faith will arise and then everything can develop. So in this case we have the material equivalent that through being promoted, through people hearing, they develop faith and then they worship or something like that. And they remember that person, and then everything follows. That person becomes popular and prominent, gets some position, and then after a little while, in so many cases, shows himself to actually be not qualified. And in this way, people are disappointed. So material life means, in one sense, a sequence of disappointments, a process of disappointment, one disappointment followed by another. In fact, one politician even made the point that in the history of humanity, no government has ever, at least in the history of democracy, no government has ever been able to avoid being kicked out. They've all been kicked out. People have eventually become dissatisfied and kicked them out. So this is going on, and this is the principle here. This is the principle. In material life, they call this, I think, something like this. They call it the Peter principle. Have you heard of that? The Peter principle. That someone is a little capable, so he's given a certain duty, and he can do that. So they then elevate him to a higher duty. And he can do that, because he's fairly capable. They elevate him to a higher duty. He can do that. He's promoted to a higher duty, till he gets to the point where he can't cope. And then they leave him there. and he stays there. This is called the Peter Principle. In this way, the idea is that everyone is promoted to the platform upon which they become incapable of really coping, and as a result we have a mess in modern society. Well, that's one interpretation. But certainly what Srila Prabhupada is talking about here is going on very much. Unqualified people are being promoted in irresponsible ways, and the foolish public, having been disappointed, feel that, yes, here we have the right person finally. And so they get behind that person, they develop faith through hearing the propaganda, they get behind that person, and after a while they become disappointed. So in this way, human society, material society is going on, and people are generally very disappointed. Just through some foolish process of giving a person, creating a reputation. Srila Prabhupada told the story of Sarbal Singh. Did you hear that story? Sarbal Singh? It's an interesting story. One gentleman approached another gentleman crying, and the second man said, "Oh, why are you crying?" He didn't really know the person. "Why are you crying?" And the man said, "Sarbal Singh is dead. He was so wonderful, so nice, so gentle and helpful, and he's dead." And just started crying and crying. And the second man, he became affected and he started crying. And one of his friends came and said, "Oh, why are you crying? What happened?" "Oh, Sarbal Singh is dead. He was so nice, so kind and considerate, such a wonderful person, and now he's dead." And the third person started crying. And one of his friends came, and the same thing happened, and the same. Eventually, one of the government ministers was passing by, and he saw that here and there are all these grown men crying. So he asked one of them, "What happened?" And the fellow said, "Oh, Sarbal Singh is dead. He was a pillar of society, a great servant of humanity, of the highest, most noble character, a benefactor of all humanity. And he's dead." Oh, and he was crying. So the minister started crying. And then the king saw him. And the same story happened, but then the king was a little more intelligent. So he said, "Okay." So the minister said, "We must declare a national day of mourning because Sarbal Singh is dead. The whole country must be a holiday." So the king said, "Well, yes, we could do that perhaps, but tell me just who is the Sarbal Singh?" So that minister said, "Oh, well, he was a great man, but I'm not sure, ask him." So eventually he went back to the second man and he said, "Yes, well, I don't know, it was him, the first man." So the first man was moaning and groaning. And they asked him, "So who was Sarbal Singh actually?" And the man said, "Oh, Sarbal Singh, he was so wonderful. He never demanded anything. He just took whatever he got. And all day he served. But who was he? He was my donkey." "Such a nice donkey. He worked so hard. He would do whatever I wanted. Never complained. And he's dead." So Srila Prabhupada personally gave that as an example. The story of Sarbal Singh. So, yes, this, through sort of over-dramatizing, makes the point very clear. These things are happening. We remember in our youth there was the phenomenon known as Beatlemania. I don't know if many of you were around in those days, but that was very amazing. At the concerts, the young girls and even some of the young boys would scream and scream and scream and just go into fits. Everywhere. Everywhere. But initially how it was started was that the manager of the group, through some sort of employment agency or something like that, hired about 200 or 300 girls in America for when the Beatles arrived. And at the airport, these girls, on cue, started screaming. And then they attended the first few concerts, the same group of girls, and started screaming, pulling their hair. And so it caught on. Then it just started being done. And that was called Beatlemania. Really. So in these ways, we can see how. Because people are foolish. There are no real standards. And because they've been disappointed and they're searching. That if some clever people come along and promote anyone actually, that anyone can be made popular despite their lack of qualification. So this is going on in material life nowadays. Practically no one is really qualified. This was noted, I remember very clearly, when Ronald Reagan became the president of America. He had been a movie actor, but he had no experience in politics or even in management. But he was very charismatic. He was very expert at responding in witty ways to different questions and different situations. And there was one cartoon, and his whole policy in his election campaign was practically, there was no policy. It was just his character, his personality, winning people's hearts. And people were wondering, what is he going to do if he takes over? But he's so popular. So there was a cartoon in Time magazine. And of course, America in those days, as today, had many problems which some intelligent people needed to deal with and still need to deal with. So they're wondering, what is this man going to do? Anyway, in this cartoon, there's Ronald Reagan dancing in a very nimble fashion with a machete in his hand into a dark forest. And in the forest, there are these menacing-looking eyes of the creatures. That's like America, what he has to deal with. And then there are two fellows watching, and they comment to each other that, I don't know where he's going, but I like the way he leads. Anyway, there's so many examples. We could just go on and on and on. We could just go on and on. Now this is going on. There may be some temporary benefit if the person has a little intelligence. He may be able to help in certain respects. But then after a little while, it's all lost, because there's nothing really substantial. So the idea is that we should understand that these material attempts are a waste of time. Therefore, devotees generally don't bother voting in elections, because if you support these people, then eventually, in due course of time, you'll be shown to have been supporting someone who was not qualified, and that will then reflect on you. Yes. So generally we don't encourage this, and 100% we encourage people like this. Just become Krishna conscious. Don't worry about the material situation so much. Don't get so involved. But make yourself Krishna conscious. Then at least you, whatever the situation may be, you can be happy and everything can be nice. And those around you, to whatever degree you can influence them, then they also can be happy. Be it communism, capitalism, socialism, any ism, any way of running a country. But if one is a devotee and one is engaged nicely in Krishna consciousness, one can be happy. And one's life can be successful. We saw this, the devotees in Russia, the devotees in this country, very different system. All over the world, devotees are very happy if they're Krishna conscious. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he was preaching in India during the attempt at for independence. It was all going on at that time. And a very popular cause, Indian independence, incredibly popular. And all the sadhus, so-called sadhus, they all became involved, except for Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. And the famous, actually Srila Prabhupada said he was the main person who managed to get the British out of India. Not Gandhi, but Subhas Chandra Bose. He was the main person, Prabhupada said. He approached Srila Bhaktisiddhanta personally and said, "You have so many followers. What are they doing for Indian independence? They should be fighting." And for Srila Bhaktisiddhanta to tell him that, you know, it's a waste of time actually, we're not interested, might not, from the PR point of view, might not have been a very good idea. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, he was very clever. There are a couple of rather scrawny brahmacharis nearby, and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta pointed to them and said, "Look at these people, will you? Such skinny little boys. How can they help fight? They wouldn't be able to do anything. Just let them take prasadam. They need to take prasadam and chant Hare Krishna, and you get some able-bodied men." So somehow Subhas Chandra Bose, he accepted that. And when Srila Bhaktisiddhanta met Srila Prabhupada, ostensibly Srila Prabhupada was a supporter of Gandhi, perhaps of Bose also, but certainly of Gandhi, I mean superficially. And the first exchange between Srila Prabhupada and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta was on the subject. Srila Prabhupada complained that you're telling us we should become Krishna conscious, but how can we with all these foreigners here who are subjugating us and exploiting us and interfering with our lifestyle? First we must get rid of them, then we can focus on these things. But Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati preached to him that Krishna consciousness is so important, so exclusively important, that it cannot wait. Let things go on the material platform as they're going, but we must help people to become Krishna conscious. So that was Srila Bhaktisiddhanta's presentation to Srila Prabhupada, and Prabhupada became convinced from that day on.